Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All righty, Evan Giddings in for Daryl the Guru Johnson, and we're joining you live from Laughing Monk Brewing. It is in Sunnyvale, and it is close to the Santa Clara practice facility and the Levi Stadium. And the 49ers are having a joint practice today with the Denver Broncos, and apparently, to Kyle Shanahan, these are more important than the exhibition games themselves. So if today's a big day and you're a 49er fan and you can't be down here, what are you looking at? What do you want to read on the internet after this practice? What do you want to see on television in terms of something that's going to reaffirm your positivity for this team?
Well, it's funny. Like, I was listening to I think it was inside NFL training camp yesterday, and Aaron Rodgers, his quote that's kind of flooded throughout the league, preseason games are not real football. You know, it doesn't really matter for the guys that have been there before. It does for the 49ers, because the 49ers have a lot of youth on their team. Joint practices absolutely matter for the youthful players on their team. And as much as you would love to hear about Brock Purdy dicing up the Broncos secondary, and, you know, it's really, to me, Steiny, about the players that are in their first, second, or third season that are looking to make those steps. The guys that Robert Saleh is talking about developing every day. This is where this practice is most important for them. And I also think it's a sign, hopefully, that the Niners are a group that at least has some more injury luck going their way than 365 days ago, when they could literally not field a team to practice against the New Orleans Saints.
If I ask 49er fans how much pressure they think is on, let's say, the quarterback, Brock Purdy, because I do think there's two ways of looking at it. One is, well, I get the contract hasn't kicked in, but he signed it, and he's now a big-money quarterback. So does that put more pressure on a quarterback, or does that put a quarterback more at ease? And I think it depends, obviously, on the quarterback, but I don't, like, Brock Purdy's not going to underachieve because he got a big contract. That's not why he'll underachieve. He'll underachieve because he just isn't good enough. I'm not worried about how the money affects him in terms of his approach, because I don't think that's going to change. But the perception of Purdy now is going to change, because he's a quarterback who's going to be considered a $40 or $50 million quarterback, regardless of whether that contract kicks in next year or not.
Yeah, I find that interesting, because I think that after 3 years, don't we kind of know who this guy is? I mean, we know that Brock Purdy is a good quarterback. I think most people feel safe saying he's not a great quarterback, and there's somewhat of a high floor and a relatively low ceiling. Like, you know what you're going to get from this player. The only difference is how much money he makes now.
Yeah. Let's go out to Leroy. Leroy's in Oakland, and we're talking about what 49er players got the most pressure on him, either created by the fans or created by the expectations of this team. What's going on, Leroy?
Steiny, Evan, hey, great to be on with you guys, man. You guys are killing it already. Real quick, you know, Steiny, I don't think, you know, Brock is going to have much pressure, maybe for another, like, 2 years. I think he's playing with house money just because he was Mr. Irrelevant. So I think he's got another 2 years to play with before we start saying, oh, the pressure is on him, the pressure is on him, because we're always going to be able to go back to, oh, he was Mr. Irrelevant, give him some rope, X, Y, and Z. But what I call for is this. I think the most pressure is going to be, and this isn't fair for him because I think this is going to be his first year, but DeMarcus Robinson, the wide receiver, he's the veteran, right? He's 30 years old. He's coming in to a receiving core that, man, Ayuk is hurt. He's probably not going to play the first week. You know, you look at Pierre Shaw, he's hurt. You look at Jennings, he's hurt. It's like, man, you're stepping into a unit where you might not see some receivers playing every week. So I think he's going to be important, and especially with people coming down Shanahan's road, you need to get more creative in the offense. You need to throw the ball more. People have picked up your offense. Your stuff is stale, Shanahan. You need to throw more. You need to do this more. So in a year where he's going to have to get creative with this offense, and I think throw the ball a little more, DeMarcus Robinson, I'm hoping he develops a nice – rapport with Brock Purdy. But I think the pressure is going to be on him to get open and to be, I hope he's the number, you know, number one, number two receiver that Brock Purdy looks for when he gets in trouble, because I think he can freaking play. And I actually think he's a little better than Juwan Jennings. And that's all I wanted to say, guys. Have a great day. Enjoy your time down there. Hey, Steiny.
Yeah.
Steiny.
Yes, sir.
You need to have their morning buzz beer. It's a blonde beer. It's like 5.5 on the volume, and it's called Morning Buzz. It's really good.
Okay, and I'll make sure to get that before noon.
Yes.
Thanks, Leroy. Appreciate the call.
3 o'clock somewhere, baby.
You know, it's funny because early in the season, my question would be, how are they going to rely on the passing game, at least early in the season? I feel like they're going to have to run the ball a lot and try to stack a few wins early without their full arsenal of receivers. And you don't have to look too deep. I mean, then it becomes all about McCaffrey.
I mean, and this is why you want to call in and call me crazy, 888-957-9570, especially early in the season. I'm sorry. I cannot put the pressure on Brock Purdy. I just can't. I don't think there's pressure on him. He's not going to have Brandon Ayuk. Most likely not going to have DeMarcus Robinson, who's going to be out. You know, they still have to figure out how many games. Okay, so that's 3 to 4 games in which you don't have two of your top four receivers. Like, what am I expecting from my quarterback? Am I expecting him to be at his best? Now, by the end of the season, if he's not playing great and he's got a full cast of characters and all of his weapons, that's one thing. But combined with the fact that he just got paid, like, the pressure in a way has sort of been, it's been more on him, I think, the first 3 years of his career than his fourth season. We know exactly what he is. And I believe that without everything at his disposal, kind of like at the end of last season, you know, do people expect him to be Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson? We know he's not one of those guys. So to me, the pressure kind of is relieved from Brock Purdy, especially through those first few games where Leroy's talking about he doesn't have two of his top four receivers.
See, I find that interesting. And the reason I find it interesting is because the discussion we've had about Purdy has often centered on, oh, well, when he's got a lot of weapons, he's good. And when he doesn't have a lot of weapons, not only is he not as good, but he's not the kind of quarterback that can, quote, unquote, carry you. So I actually think, regardless of how banged up their receivers are early in the year, that one way or the other, Brock's going to play into that stereotype. Either it's going to start to become a narrative or it's going to be a narrative that's kind of broken. But if he comes out and they are decimated at wide receiver and they can't move the ball through the air, I think that's going to be a big, big problem for Brock Purdy. Now, if they get healthy and that starts to turn around, I guess what I'm saying is the last thing you want is this team getting off to a 2-4 start and Purdy doesn't look good because the wide receivers aren't really in sync. And I think that'll get people talking about, is he worth it? And is he a star or is he a system type of quarterback?
But we know he's not the system. Like, I mean, we have 3 years of evidence to tell you that he's not the system.
Okay, well then, in fairness, what you're saying is, then we can't really continue, or what I'm hearing you say then is, you know, the early season's going to be rough for him, and he won't have Ayuk, Pearsall's young, Robinson won't be playing early, who knows what's going on with Jennings. Like, I see the conundrum. Because, okay, how can he be great in that situation? But he's the guy you gave $50 million to. So he's got to figure out a way to kind of make it work.
$50 million is the going rate for starting quarterbacks on your first big contract. Like, unless you're a rookie and you're a starter, most of those guys are making $50 million. He's not the only one. And to me, Steiny, expecting a non-top five quarterback to play like a top five quarterback just because he makes $50 million or will starting next season is completely ridiculous to me. We know that he's not Lamar, Patrick, Josh, Burrow. We know that. So when he's been successful, it's because he's had a lot of talent around him, and he's been allowed to conduct it, and he's done it well. He's orchestrated an offense that has been number one in this league. He's helped get them to the precipice of a Super Bowl. We know he can do that when he's got guys around him. But I'm looking at a roster on both sides of the football, frankly, that don't have either a ton of dudes or yet to be seen type of characters. We don't. Mykal Williams might be a stud. He might not be. C.J. West is impressed at camp. We're going to look for him today to join practices. I don't know if he's going to be great. Upton Stout looks like he's the starting third cornerback. Might have to play two if Fernando Green's out. I don't know what he's going to be. But there's all these guys that are question marks for the 49ers who could help Brock Purdy, in my opinion, be the best version of himself. But we saw last season that without a lot of help around him, that he's not someone that's going to uplift this team. And if he does, quite frankly, it would be a massive surprise to me. So that's how I'm going into the season and why I think that the pressure is not on Brock Purdy in comparison to other players on this team, because I think I know exactly who Brock Purdy is.
Boy, I think there's a lot of people that view it the opposite of you. And it's not that he needs to be Mahomes or Josh Allen, but he needs to be somebody who, if, let's say the wide receivers are decimated through the first four or five games, he's got to figure out a way to win a few of those games. Like, I don't know how.
I think he will. I'm not expecting him to start 0-5.
He probably will, but I feel like you're saying they've signed Brock Purdy. We know what he is. And if he is that and he continues to be that, we will have gotten our money's worth. I feel like I know who Purdy is. He's been pretty good. Now he's got 50. And this is going to be a vague statement, but now he's got to get better. Like, he's got to get a little better. He's got to start winning them a few games here and there. Like, has Brock Purdy been responsible? Like, are there games where he's put the 49ers on his back? And I know you don't do that 10, 12 games a year. But do any games come to mind where, like, you felt like Purdy lifted this team on his own, even though that's kind of an unfair question?
I mean, last season it would have had to be earlier in the year because they were 5-4 and then they fell apart. But 2023, I mean, Sunday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys, and he threw four touchdowns. I would describe that as a game where he put him on his back. But again, he was playing with a ridiculous amount of talent. And I think that Purdy is somebody, I'm not trying to say, like, if they go 3-14 that he's not going to be at the center, he's not going to be on the bullseye of everybody. I don't expect them to be a 6-11 team. I just don't. Like, to me, Brock Purdy is a floor quarterback. And the floor, when you don't have all your best players hurt, is going to be, you know, I think a wild card squad, someone maybe that could challenge for the division. But to me, Brock Purdy is not going to uplift a 49ers team with a lot of questions into Super Bowl contention, which is what I think a lot of people expect from a $50 million quarterback. And to me, that is ridiculous.
Well, yes, it's too much to ask Brock Purdy right now to carry a team, I think. And I don't know if he'll ever be able to do it. But let's say hypothetically you could just based on the talent of this team alone, and you graded every team in the NFC West just on talent, that's all, and you would say, well, the Rams have the most talent. Okay. If you decided that the 49ers have, right now, with all their question marks, they're an 8-9 team. They're about a 500 team, let's just say.
Sure.
Okay. Well, can Brock Purdy help you win a couple more games? Can he be the difference between 11-6 and 9-8, or 8-9 and 10-7? Like, can he win you a couple games that maybe you didn't deserve to win because he came up with some key plays here and there over the course of the season when he's been pretty consistent?
Sure, I think he can when Christian McCaffrey is healthy. when Trent Williams is healthy, if we find out this defense has some talent in their rookies, in their sophomore class characters, if Ricky Pearsall turns out to be a pretty damn good receiver, if Juwan Jennings is able to put this catfish behind them. Like, that's what I'm talking about. It's if all of those things go wrong like they did last year, yes, I'm not expecting Brock Purdy to uplift a squad that's a 6-win team at best to a 10 or 11-win team. But can he be the difference in a couple of games? Sure, I think he has proven that he can be that guy. But he's not somebody that's going to take, like last year, the Bills got rid of Stephon Diggs. And they said, here, Josh Allen, you get a rookie receiver in Khalil Shakir. You have a couple of guys, and you got to make something happen. And he did. I'm not expecting Brock Purdy to be the MVP of the NFL, which is what everyone just assumes their quarterback has to be once they make $50 million. We know what he is, which is a pretty damn good quarterback when he has healthy weapons to throw to and a good set of talent around him. I think if things go right for the Niners, he can be the difference in a couple of games. But he's also paid to be here for the next six seasons, if you include this one. And so to me, he's got a lot of time. I mean, he just does.
No, he does have a lot of time. I just think, okay, you named those best five quarterbacks. Okay, no, he's not one of those. But to me, he can't be Trevor Lawrence or Tua or Daniel Jones. Like, he's got to be, let's say, 5 to 10. Like, if you list the quarterbacks, he always falls around, I don't know, 10 to 12, something like that, 9 to 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, can he butt up against the Lamar Jacksons and the Mahomes and the Josh Allens, knowing he'll probably never be them, but can he get up to a J, you know, right below them? And to me, that would be the next goal. If he's never going to be Josh Allen or those guys, then he's got to be noticeably better than the mid-tier quarterbacks.
Well, to me, he has to. If this season is going to go anywhere, you would like him to be the best quarterback in the division. And that's going to be hard to do. Matt Stafford just got Devontae Adams. That's an offense that has been geared to run the football well. And maybe McCaffrey's the difference for Brock Purdy, but I'm looking at the weapons and defense that Matthew Stafford has at his disposal, plus, you know, perhaps a superior arm, which is, I don't think, unfair to say. And Brock Purdy's got to be better than him, I think, for the Niners to get to where they want to go. I mean, like, is that just what people expect?
Well, I would say this.
I think he can be better than Sam Darnold. I think he's better than Kyler Murray, because Kyler Murray, while he's more talented, is more erratic than Brock Purdy. But expecting him to outplay Matthew Stafford over a 17-game season, I have questions about that.
That's fair. I'll channel my inner guru here a little bit. Because it sounds to me like what you're saying is, well, you know, Brock Purdy is who he is, and it just so happens that, yeah, he was the next in line, so he gets $50 million, but that doesn't mean he needs to be a $50 million quarterback like some other, or the elite $50 million quarterback. So he's just going to do what he's going to do, and if the guys around him do what they're going to do, then the Niners will be pretty good. But if it almost feels like you're taking a little control away from Purdy, and you're saying he's just kind of a quarterback who everybody else is going to determine whether he has a good year or not.
I mean, I think he can get better, but again, when he's been at his best, he's had the freaking Avengers around him. And so I don't, like, for him to throw 35 touchdowns is going to be really, really difficult. I think this offense is going to be, you know, can Purdy be the difference in a couple of late game situations? Sure, but this offense is, to me, it is going to be geared to run the football effectively far more than it has maybe even in 2023. They are going to have to rely, to me, on Christian McCaffrey, and maybe Brock Purdy is your closer, but again, I'm looking around at the players that he has to distribute the ball to. And outside of George Kittle, God love Juwan Jennings. He's not someone that is going to break a play open. He's there on third down, and that's about it for me. If he's your number one receiver, which he was last year, you're a 6-win team.
Well, it depends if they can run the ball or not. And
last year they couldn't run the football.
Right, but it feels like you're talking about Purdy and you're thinking about numbers, which is fine because I agree with you. He's not going to be a 35 touchdown, 7 interception guy. It only matters if they win, and if they lead the league in rushing and they're 27th in passing, but they're 7-1 or 7-2, even if Purdy's numbers aren't great, I don't think anybody's going to care if they're 7-2, right? If they lead, let's say they like to lean on the run, they'll take some of the responsibility off Purdy's hands, and they start winning the 49er way, which is heavy on the run. As long as they win, I'm not sure how much people are going to care about Purdy's numbers, because 49er fans are smart enough to know that if they lead the league in rushing, they're probably not going to lead the league in passing.
No, but I think that's the way that the league is moving. I mean, the Philadelphia Eagles won the Super Bowl largely on the back of their running back. The Baltimore Ravens, their quarterback is involved in the running game, but their running back just had 2,100 yards last year. Even a team in their division, like the Rams, are built off the run. They have a good quarterback who can go out there and make things happen. But you have to be able to run the football effectively, I believe now, in order to have a good offense. I mean, just every team does. Even someone like the Chiefs, they run the football. The Buffalo Bills, their quarterback is involved in the run game, but James Cook had a damn good season last year. The best teams run the football with effectiveness, and that's why I think that the 49ers were not in great positions last year. They weren't able to run the football, especially in the red zone. You know, to me, they have to get back to basics. And that's why if we're talking about pressure, I understand that now Brock is paid and he's got all these eyes on him. He's here for 5 years. If he has a down season, he ain't going anywhere. I mean, to me, the pressure is going to be more on Kyle Shanahan to figure out, all right, how can you be a little more creative? How can we find different ways to run the football? How can we find different ways with a lesser receiving cast than years past to get guys open? I mean, it is on the quarterback, but to me, I'm also looking at the play caller, who last year was pretty bland, if we're going to be honest.
888-957-9570 is the number. We've spent a lot of time talking about the positions other than the quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers. And I was listening to the morning show, and I do feel like they're right in a way. After 3 years of talking about Purdy incessantly, it does feel like this training camp, whether it's because he got paid or whether it's because it's obvious he's entrenched as the starter, he's not being talked about like in past years. So my question to 49er fans, do your expectations for Brock Purdy change knowing that he got that contract? And I do think it's a fair question. The 49ers didn't pay Brock Purdy because they didn't think he's been good for 3 years and now they think he's going to emerge. They've obviously seen enough in 3 years where they're comfortable, and they do think he's going to get better. But I think Purdy is going to be judged differently from this point on. For example, you know the Mr. Irrelevant thing. Like, what does that matter right now? I don't believe him being Mr. Irrelevant buys him one sliver of extra goodwill right now as he's 4 years into his career. But I'm interested to know what 49er fans are saying, knowing full well that Purdy might not be the quarterback that can carry you, but how much better does he have to get for the 49ers to get where either they need to be or to show the fan base that he's worth $50 million, and with him at quarterback, we hope to be a factor for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years.
Well, a quick 49ers update. They're going to have a little less defensive back help today against the Broncos in joint practice because they have cut Eli Apple in order to make room for defensive lineman, and I apologize if I butcher his name, Michael DeWumfor. the one-year deal. So a little more D-line help for the Niners, who have had, in recent days, Kevin Givens go down with a pectoral injury. Evan Anderson has an ankle and is out. So they're prioritizing the defensive line right now, week one of preseason.
Yeah, and I'll just put it this way to 49er fans. I mean, do you think Evan's already starting to build in some excuses for Brock Purdy? I mean, he hasn't even played a game yet.
Let me know.
His new contract.
Talk to me.
You know, hey, let's take the pressure off him. You know, no, I'm just kidding. 888-957-9570 is the number. We are at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. This is going to be the site of the 49ers pregame shows when they are hosting a team at Levi's Stadium. Come down here, say hello. It's a great place. Great views, great beer, great food. Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale. That segment also sponsored by Life Source Water Systems.